Hi, Dumpster Divas. We are back with another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlin, and my sister, Kix. Hi, Kix.
Hi.
We are just going to kind of jump into it today because we got a lot to chat about today. A lot happening in the Bravo world, on the shows. We have an exciting guest today. So today we are joined by Elle Murasaki. And you can follow Elle at Housewives and Chit Chat on Instagram and TikTok. She pops off on the talk, so that's really where you should go check it out. But if you're an old person like me, you can also watch all the same shit on Instagram. Elle, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. We're so happy to have you.
No, I'm really excited. Like, who doesn't like to just sit back and talk crap about Bravo shows?
Well, you're in the right place.
You're in the right spot. I mean, it is people. So today I'm real. Actually, you know, I have to say, I was like on the train home, had a long week at work, and I was like, I cannot wait to sit down and just like turn my brain off and gab about this shit.
Like, no, honestly, like, thank you for even inviting me. And just in this whole journey to know that there's a platform to talk to somebody other than just like sending long voice notes to my friends.
Exactly.
Because the pandemic, it had gotten really bad. Like, I was telling my husband, like, so then Sonya, he was like, there's got to be somebody else.
Like, please don't.
Please talk to at least the wall, not me.
we have like two threads. We have like a thread with some friends from the podcast world, and then we also have a thread with friends that don't engage in like the content creator universe of it all. And I love that chat because it's so fun to be with people who like aren't thinking about like they don't follow the news at all. They're like, Kathy did what? And I'm like, yeah, where you been, baby?
Did you see the text message that Lisa sent Kathy? And you're like,
we'll get to that because I have some thoughts because Beverly Hills is Beverly Hilling, as I've been saying.
Okay, it's giving Beverly Hill adjacent at this point.
It is honestly a mess. I don't even know how much time I want to give to it later, but we'll go there.
Yeah, we won't. I just want to say something really quick before I forget, because I will. It reminds me of the last season of Roni when they were in the Hamptons for so long. And you're like, are they still there? Like, why are we on episode 800 of them in the Hamptons? So they've really just been in Aspen for like two, three episodes.
Dude, this season is so long. When Dorit was, when they were in Aspen and Dorit said she was triggered, I was like, oh crap. The break-in was this season. Like
that. You know? I think I've had two birthdays since the break-in.
Solidly.
Yeah. I want to talk about Beverly Hills, of course, but we have to take a moment. So we like to slow down. I like to check in with our guests about, you know, their journey with reality TV, where it all began, and what reality television made you a quote unquote dumpster diva. And in addition to what show brought you into the genre, is there a certain reality star that you kind of claim to be your North Star of reality? Take it away, Elle.
I have been pondering on this question since you emailed it to me. Mm-hmm. I freaking like TV, man. Like, I just like TV. And it's like, yes, if you are going to let me watch your problems as opposed to mine, then I am down for that. But I want to say, and like throw tomatoes at me later, it's cool. I want to say the first time that I was like, oh, I watch reality TV is back when TLC had this reality show. I think it was called Motherhood, and they would follow moms around. They would come to like this little mommy and me, and they would share this journey. And this woman had like a five-year-old that she could not stop breastfeeding. And the baby was like beating her up for the breast milk. And she was in the camera like, see what I go through. And I was like, yeah, like, I'm tuned in. See,
and I want to see more, actually.
I was school, like, I shouldn't have not been watching these people cry about breastfeeding, but I was like, oh no, give me more.
I think we had someone on once who brought up the show because there was like a sister show or something came later. Yeah
Mother,
what was the sister show?
I don't know.
It was like a little spinoff. Motherhood might not be the correct name, but I remember because I would get off the bus in high school and it came on like in that 3:30 hour before Oprah came on at 5 o'clock. I mean, at 4 o'clock, because I was like living an elite lifestyle in high school. Okay. So I had to watch Oprah at four.
A 3:30 like post school time is such a flex.
Yeah. Wait, you got
I'm stuck on that. I'm so sorry.
Wait, what's the flex though? What are you saying?
Take me. I was home too early.
She got home at 3:30 in high school.
Well, what time did you start at?
First period was, I don't know. I was on the bus by 7:35. I remember my pickup time was 7:35.
Yeah, not that different from us. What were you? What were you doing?
I'm like shocked. I don't know why.
My senior year, I think freshman through junior year, I was home like as Oprah was starting. Like I was mad if people were taking too long to get off the bus. Like, we're going to miss Oprah. But my senior year, I only needed my first three periods to graduate. Mm. So I was home early.
Senior out, if you will. Sure.
If you will.
Those are the days.
Wait, okay. So do you consider like talk shows reality TV?
I did not before. I do now. Like growing up, again, I liked TV. My grandmother likes TV. I remember when Judge Judy premiered, Ricky Lake After School, Jenny Jones, Sally Jesse Raphael, Mother Love from Forgive or Forget. Top tier. Know all the episodes. but then as I got older and I understood like how television worked and production worked, I was like, oh, it's all the same thing, just in a different format.
Right. It's like mini reunions, like mini Bravo reunions.
Compact.
Right. The Tyra show was full reality television.
Tyra show was full reality TV. She was playing with us. She was.
It's so fake. It's so fake.
She's coming out with a book. A memoir about her life. And it's like, girl, okay.
Congratulations to that woman. And that's where I'm gonna leave that.
You know, I do love Tyra for what she's given us. We have to like, she is a icon of the modeling, the form. And then in addition to that, she also is a genius reality television producer. But I don't see her as someone who would be keen to really revealing things. So like she feels very guarded to me. Like the extent of what we know about her, I think she already talked about on America's Next
Curated.
Yeah,
curated.
She feels guarded in the way of this network doesn't deserve this. Like she's really picky and choosy about how far she'll go on what platform. The thing with Tyra is in this iteration of her life, I'm like, girl, get a better PR team. Like what is actually happening? Is it Modeland? Is it Smize? Is it a clothing line? Is it ice cream? Is it Dancing with the Star? What is the brand message?
I don't think you're joking about the ice cream, because I think that's
real. You can buy it. For those that don't know, right before COVID, Tyra decided she was gonna make a full like amusement park where you like, and it was expensive. It was like $100 entry fee, and you could leave with a certificate that was like, I'm now a model, and you would go on rides and like go through things that like
what
learn how to smize. So you're like smizing on the like roller coaster,
right?
And then there's like mirror, like the 360 mirror rooms, and you can do your poses and your angles.
It's called Model Land.
You look as confused as we look when she launched it.
Too late. My jaw's on the floor. I didn't think you were lying, but there was a moment that I was like, oh, they must be referencing a Black Mirror episode because this sounds fake.
It's not fake. It's not fake at all, sadly.
Is it real? Can you go?
I don't think it ever opened.
Well, no, they did. They took a pause. Corona happened. And then I saw on my Instagram maybe 2 weeks ago that it was back up.
No.
Look at your face.
I'm looking it up. Hold on.
Well, Modeland is also the name
of- Oh, it's a book.
Oh, but that came out in 2011.
It's the branding. Go to Instagram. It's Modeland. It's right there. I'm telling you, they just did tours. Land
theme park?
Yes, that's what I told you it was.
I know. I'm really shocked.
I thought we were playing with you.
I'm picturing like a color pop NYC where you like walk around rooms and take photos, or the Rose Mansion.
Definitely probably like that. I think it's probably like that. Yes, Smize cream you can buy there. Yeah, you can just do all sorts of things. Price. Oh, it's only $35 now. Ugly. I would go, honestly.
Oh, see, for $35 I would go. That. But when we started at $100, I was like,
no, it was price. Initially it was price crazy high or something. I remember being like, what are you getting out of this experience?
I'm shocked.
And why are you getting at me?
Right. We got to respect Tyra for what she's done, but she's also done some really fucked up shit too.
Yeah. No, for sure. That's why I said, just God bless that woman on her journey.
I think
the Dancing with the Stars twist is weird to me. And I can't believe that she's still doing it. And because she gets so much hate. I don't know.
Did she get fired?
No, she's still the host.
Well, for some reason, I thought she got fired last season.
No, she just gets so much hate. She got fired from America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
Sure.
But again, brand confusion, because she did the weird talk show panel moment with Chrissy Teigen, and I forget who else was on there with her. It was them.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
No. Oh my God. Because that one again was, I was like, what is actually happening?
She has so much money. Like, she can hire a team that will like direct her in a place that she'll make more money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or she could just sit in a gorgeous home and like and be on AD magazine and make money from being just her name in a home.
Show me your living room. I'll watch.
Absolutely. Because it's crazy, I'm sure.
Fab Life on ABC.
Huh.
Oh, do not remember that.
Yeah. Well,
something about her that I find very interesting, and I'm curious to figure out if she talks about this in the book. She's like very much never in any sort of relationships, and it's always kind of interesting to me. Like, it's just like a layer of her that
we don't get.
Yeah, she's very curated with what she shares, because she also has a child. She I think adopted, maybe, or surrogate. Like,
I want to say it was surrogate.
Yeah, I think it was, but she, I believe, mothered alone, correct?
Mm-hmm.
No, I thought she mothered with the don't get me the lion child. I don't know.
Tyra Banks' husband?
Not me about to start rumors.
Allegedly.
Tyra Banks has baby with.
So she had a part. Okay, so they are no longer together, but her partner's name was Eric Asla, and they were together from 2013 to 2017. And he is the father of her child. So I don't know if that was a surrogate or if it was them or if it was in vitro or IVF, like all the stuff, but they're no longer together.
All this stuff.
All the stuff.
All the options, I mean.
Because like, if it doesn't work, then we'll just take it out of her and implant it in another person.
Yeah, well, you can do whatever. They can grow the baby in her and someone else and him, wherever, you know?
No biggie. Who needs an umbilical cord?
So are you still on TLC train, if you will? Because I'm not, but Tom is. So
no, they lost me. I left their train after John and Kate split up, and then Kate tried to do her own thing.
Yeah,
like a lifetime ago. But I watch Married at First Sight when the episodes come to Netflix.
And that's on Lifetime. So that's not even
on. Oh, is that? Oh, yeah. So absolutely
not at this point. What's the difference?
Tomatoes.
Married at First Sight does, if on the right Sunday, like afternoon, it really hits. But I have to be in the right space for it, because it's the production value is so low. And I don't need much, but there's something about these people.
I need something.
I just need a little bit. I need a little elevatedness, you know? No, but
something in between Heather Dubrow commercials and Married at First Sight.
Yes. Sure. Yes. No, I'm not deep into TLC. You make it sound like I'm like watching, like,
you're just a 90 day head, like Ride or Die, I think.
Not Ride or Die. It's my like trashy thing that I'll watch. I'm always like, I'm behind on it right now.
Your face seems very gleeful right now. Like, you really want to tell us about the show. That's what I'm getting.
Well, here's the thing. There's nothing happening right now. Like, right now there's only, there's The Single Life, which is only on Discovery Plus. And then there's,
which happily, you just admitted to having Discovery Plus.
With a question mark? Yeah, I have Discovery Plus. Because I watch these shows. I'm not like, it's not appointment viewing for me. Like, I'm not like, oh, I gotta watch. I'm not like, oh shoot, I missed last night's Beverly Hills. Like, I like, I'll be like 6 weeks behind and be like, okay, I'm like hungover today. I'm just gonna turn this on while I like scroll on my phone.
That's not gonna
the
do
level
much.
Of fan I am. Yeah, but they're all Republicans and assholes and awful human beings. And
horrible.
It's hard to watch.
I mean, so are the housewives. So
of course they are, which is a great transition to Bravo. So Elle, tell us, what all are you consuming on Bravo right now?
Everything except for Southern Charm and Below Deck.
Okay. Are you watching Girlfriends in Paris?
I am watching Girlfriends in Paris. I'm watching Girlfriends in Paris. I'm watching all of the Housewives. Mm-hmm. And I don't watch Vanderpump. So no Vanderpump, no Below Deck.
Is it on?
I have no idea. I couldn't even tell you what it's about, honestly.
I watched the first 2.5 episodes of Girlfriends in Paris. I liked it. It's like a good, like, turn your brain off show, but it's not like delivering on drama. But I think people need to understand that that's not always going to be the genre of reality TV.
I think that Girlfriends in Paris is a great walk back from the fourth wall that we broke with, like, these high society ladies, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. on Girlfriends in Paris, one of the best moments to me was the girl was like swiping her card and it went through and she was like, yes, my check cleared. Like, yeah. These are the mm-hmm. real issues. These are the dramas, if you will, that we are dealing with. On a regular basis, you don't have people coming up to you at work asking you something and getting ready to throw coffee in your face. Like, that's not life. So I feel like Girlfriends in Paris is giving us that scale back to like what we used to get when we first met Vicky and things like that. I think that's the gateway to shifting the narrative.
I haven't watched. I feel like I should. You just you sold
like
it to me.
Because you would like it. It's very, very much your...
Say no more.
I thought you've been watching it.
No, I haven't.
Oh. Yeah, no, it's very up your alley. Kix is very into, how do I say...
Boring. I like the like low level... I love Below Deck. I'm not watching the season, but I last year started from like the very beginning and started watching. I'm like, oh, I understand why the show is like one of Bravo's like most popular, because it is like,
it's hypnotizing. It's so, it actually is. I think hypnotherapy.
Exactly. It. It's like, hypnotic because you follow tiny stories through the whole season. And it's right. Like, I fucked this person on accident. I thought it's just like things that like they're like, that's so weird, or like you're mad because you want to change rooms, like things that don't matter in like real life.
Real
but then
life.
There's like there's new drama every episode because some guests come on and stir the pot and cause shit, and
it's probably all like hyper fixated too, because then they're on the yacht, like they can't yes. go anywhere, kind of like Big Brother style.
Yes,
right. But then they
they get one night after every charter where they go and black out on the beach, and like that's where shit hits the fan, because they have like one night.
That's
like,
how you fuck somebody on accident, because I was wondering. That's how
it happened. I just made that up. I don't know if that's the case, but you.
But then at the end, you're like, so but it's fun. Educational, because you're like, I know so much about maritime law now. Like,
yeah, like I could steer a boat.
Yeah. Am I a captain? I'm a captain now.
Am I the captain? Maybe I am.
And then there's one that's coming out. I don't know if it came out yet. The one Heather Gaze on like the first couple episodes.
Yeah,
or
like
something.
Below Deck Adventure or whatever.
I don't know if they're on a boat, okay. But they're like in yes, Interlaken or some. No, I don't know. I think they're on like a boat cruise or something, like because they're like weirdly in Germany.
So they're on a dragon, and then they're going through.
Okay, fuck you.
They're on a boat.
Wait, and I'm sitting here like, there's dragons.
Dragons?
Like maybe this is hypnotic.
But I love your like, I love boring hypnotic television. They're fucking. There's it's like not that low key.
No,
drama.
I just like drama that doesn't actually matter in real life. Sure. Like no one's gonna walk away and lose a job. I mean, I can't say that they might
they
lose
actually
a job.
Do every
they
season
do
people
lose.
Get
they
fired.
Get fired often. Yeah, but no one's like their soul isn't crushed by like
right.
someone saying disgusting about them, like, and it's all over page six and their family's life is ruined.
Right. Like that's when it goes too far. Give a good read, leave the kids out of it. Leave people's presumed sexuality out of it. Like all of the race, all of that, yeah. And just entertain me.
Exactly. That's why like my favorite housewife, like top five, maybe even top three or one is Candy, because I like that she I really switched the gears here, but I like that she is very low stakes. She's like low level, but she can get there when she needs to. Mm-hmm. But like her drama is often like resolved. And I liked OLG. And
I love Candy is definitely on my top five list for sure. But I love Candy stay in the bag Burris. Like there is a new business after every season. Like to me, she is a masterclass in how to use the Housewives as a platform. Like, right. Like this is how you do it. Like all Housewives should take her course.
I completely agree, because she also doesn't lean too hard in on manipulating any sort of storyline. She's very present when she's there. Like, she's never trying to make up something. She's very truthful. She's, she's turning anything on for the cameras. She's a pro.
Because she has businesses outside of the show. And I think that's the difference. Those housewives that don't have anything but the show and then the appearances that they get from the show have a different level of desperation and like willingness to do the producer's dirty work, as opposed to the housewives who like, all right, well, this is my sock money.
Marlo is like, essentially when everyone's asking her like what her job is, Marlo's like, you're kind, like, she can't say it, but she wants to be like, this.
Hello. Here? Like, the fact that you booked me to ask me is the job.
Right. This is all I have now. Like, she, the show is her job and she can't lose that, which I'm nervous for her for that, to be honest with you. But apparently they all
also learned from Nene. And Nene, again, the difference is Nene was able to take this launching pad and create stuff. So there was a period of time where Nene had the show and that was the job. But then Nene got the Fox News correspondent. Then we did book deals and then New Normal and all, like, then she became Lenithia.
Right.
Nene was a Fox News correspondent?
She had a segment, at least in Atlanta. I don't know if it made it up here, but she definitely had like one of those little segments. That she did.
On the local, like, Atlanta news or whatever. Yeah, I could see that.
I didn't mean it like that.
I know exactly what you mean.
Where Nene's failure was for me is like she came back to the show because she kind of did need the show, I think, at some point on the other side of it. And that felt, I think, a little embarrassing to her.
She tried to pull a Bethany and it didn't Bethany.
No,
yeah, Bethany's comeback return, was excellent.
Right. Bethany's return was is I really think the golden era of Roni, like from her return season to the season, her last season, say what you want about her. She sucks in a lot of ways, but those five seasons are really fantastic television.
They are, and I will stand with you in the battlefield if anybody tries to argue with you on that. Like, that is a fact.
They're all just wrong. Like, that's
yeah. I mean, and the beginning is amazing. I think season three is one of the best seasons ever. Of season three, Roni is a legendary season in reality television. But we've moved past that. Oh my God, Kix's cat just came in plunging behind you. No, but season three kind of like set the bar for like storytelling, I think, in reality TV. Like real friendships coming to the front of the story, but we've moved on from there. And I think season like 9, 7 through 11 or something. I don't know.
I think days are what no you longer. Were saying too of like Girlfriends in Paris. I haven't watched it, but I imagine it's like early Roni where like the apartments are like kind of shitty. Bethany has like a startup food company, which at the time was like a little weird. So that's like,
like, what is that?
What's yeah, exactly. That? Now it's literally like a mega corporation. But like, I don't know. When you were talking about Girlfriends in Paris, that's really what I was like,
It felt, I said this on one of my recaps, Girlfriends in Paris feels like Ladies of London's children, and then the children got it right. Because it's still that same mystery that you're going to love. They're in France, all of this, blah, 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 blah. But it's real. Like, it's real. The one girl's talking about the perception of how she looks and dresses versus what they actually have in their bank account. One girl, her dad actually funded Keith Haring when he was alive, one of the artists that he backed.
Wait, really? I missed that.
Yeah. Marga. She gets a stipend from him at 26, which is less than what it used to be. But now the dad is like, hello, you're going to create your own business. So you've got her in the pressures of feeling like not successful because everybody else around you looks successful because nobody else is posting their failures. So then just like the complexities of that and just being in different states and trying to get your visa, like it's real life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have to do the paperwork. So it's like, cool.
Yeah. It feels like just getting, people complain so much about, I am one of them, about like Beverly Hills, the last season of New York, just like too much reality TV with a capital R. And Housewives with a capital H. So that it's just like too much curation.
Yeah.
And I think like I keep bopping around, so I'm so sorry, everybody. But I think that's why the season of Atlanta has been so good is because it feels like low stakes real life when I don't know. Beverly Hills is like literally just too much.
I'm with you to a certain extent. Like I feel like coronavirus pulled the mask. In hindsight, it's 2020, right?
Say her first and last name, coronavirus.
you better give her government ground. As if you guys would be unsure if I was just like corona, right? SARS-CoV-19. I think that pulled the mask back and it was like, it revealed so much in TV. And I think, mm-hmm. again, looking back, if they could have, the best thing would have to be was to hold the seasons, but to not have the drama to try and produce it gave us the code, at least for me. And it felt like, oh, that's the input. Okay. Y'all did it here. And then it just kind of made it less fun. And you can see the mm-hmm. people working and you're like, this is how you want to make your coins.
Right.
Yeah. Because it was such a formula. It was like Leah hosts a trip. Mm-hmm. Luann hosts a trip. Like every single episode was a different person hosting because that's all they could do. It's like, you could either go to this house or rent out like a bar and film. Like you couldn't do much.
Then you have to be in the house.
Yeah.
And while you guys are stuck in the house, let's go ahead and let Trump run for president again. And just argue about that amongst yourselves.
The only two that it's like excelled for me were Potomac and that one season of Beverly Hills, because like there was so much going on in the exterior world that like it was just creating wild drama. So like it worked there, but across the board, no. But what are your general thoughts on like Atlanta this season? Any reunion thoughts? I'll take it away.
They definitely hoed us on this reunion. It could have been a 90-second special and we could all
thank you. I agree.
I always feel like that though.
Like, why are you talking to me three episodes later? What?
Because no one, I'm sorry. Even Andy, I said this last week, but Andy is tired. That baby is tired.
He's an old man.
He's looking at Drew and Sonya like fighting. And I think there's literally like a ghost of Andy staring down at him being like, what have you done to deserve?
You created this history for yourself.
No, this is your, This is his hell loop. Right. She's like, while there's tears coming down her face, Andy said, that's crying. That's what that woman is doing. Are you dumb?
I will say though, what's really excellent, I feel like they're all just so gorgeous. They just look so beautiful. And I don't know, they're fun to like, I don't know. Reunions to me are always enjoyable, but they don't need to be 100 hours long.
I like a 100-hour reunion, but like, let's do it. Let's do the thing. This was like 30 minutes of recap. Like, dude, we all saw the season. That's why we're here. What are you showing it to me again for? Like,
yeah, imagine someone not, and this is their first intro. Like, we got it. But honestly, you could have popped in here because they did so much exposition, you know?
Like, hello. The only thing I need to see from a recap on a reunion is proving a receipt. When Sheree is like, oh, I didn't talk about you. Run that clip, girl. Don't show me Marlo jumping on the trampoline, talking about something. We had so much fun this season. Are you, what?
No, and Marlo, I'm sorry. Marlo's story is heartbreaking, but she had 19 episodes of a television program to tell that story, and she chose the 20th episode to tell it. And it's just like, what are we doing? Like, it comes across manipulative. Like, you're on a show that's supposed to be on paper about real life, and everyone sitting there has gone there pretty much. Like, even the newer ones. Like,
and she objectively has like fan favorite support out the bat. Like, she, because she's this her first, like, as her first peach holding season, there's so many fans that are like rooting for her so hard and want to hear from her and want to hear her story and her personal life and all this stuff. And then it was like, what? This is what
we. Then we saw you kick your nephews out and cut 1,000 square feet off of your house. Boo.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen more from her in other seasons. Like,
yes.
Literally.
I think she has some real, demons and darkness surrounding people being close to her. Like, I think that's what we're getting at. Cause like Kenya talks about it a little bit. She's like, I know things about you that others don't know. Like, I've been there for you. I don't know why I am the person that you come in here swinging at. And all, and then on top of that, Candy is sitting there being like, I was rooting for you. In the words of Tyra, we were all rooting
for you. We were all rooting for you.
How dare you?
Seriously, because this. You learn from this, Marlo, because like everyone is on your team and you just are.
Everybody who watches the show as well.
You could literally not have more people on your team. Like, no, just, it's impossible.
Yeah.
It is impossible. Like what I didn't like it. I felt like at some point editing should have stepped in. Like I'm always unclear with Bravo where the line is. Right. There's just so much stuff that flies. And it's like, what exactly is too far for you? Because in my opinion, her kicking those boys out should have never been a storyline. Ma'am, do you have anything else to film? I'm not putting this on TV. This is not what we're doing. You can show your issues with your sister and taking them in. I will not be a part. Like if I were the network, I would not be a part of you doing this to these babies and then putting it on TV, because as much as we're calling them babies, they are still at an age where their peers and their peers' parents watch this show.
Totally. Right.
And then they see them at school and they know what's going on.
Yeah. And when you cut, like bring it back too, it's like she's making money off of that situation.
Well, I have a theory. I said it on the pod before, but I want to get your feel on it, Elle. And that's that I think there's a little more to the story about production that is not being told, where like they were acting out in a way that she was nervous that was going to put them in a bad light. And she was like trying to protect them by getting them out of the house while she finished filming, because like when they moved back in was like the finale. So like part of me was thinking, I wonder if she was trying to get them out just in time so she could kind of like do some other things so they're not on camera as much. And she chose to tell that story in a really weird way and just made the whole situation look worse, because she says that they're going to go for a month, and the month literally somehow perfectly times up with like the end of the season. And
that makes sense. Like,
I just wonder if there's something there. Yeah, I don't know.
I like that theory. I have to sit with that one. I really do like that theory. Because I could see the standpoint of, oh, I think this is going to be a good idea, but then you know how production editing works and you kind of get a hint of how stories are being told, and maybe in protection mode, you're like, I don't want them here for this, but I've got a contract. How can I do this? So I do like that. But what I think happened is inviting children into your house when they want to be with their parent, regardless of their parent's mental health, is hard. A, B, inviting those same kids who are used to different than what you're giving them, and some of that being toxic, is absolutely hard. And I know that, like my middle sister is really my cousin because my mom was their foster sister. It is a rough acclimation. And to Marlo's point on the reunion, when you don't have the tools, even as a parent, like I have tools and I'm a mom, and I know that there are times that I revert back to like, I don't know what to do. Like, this is what my mom did. As much as you say, like, oh, I'm not going to be like my mom, blah, 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 blah. You resort back to what you've seen, what you know, and what you've normalized. And Marlo's revert back, unfortunately, was just toxic. I do believe in my heart that if Marlo came from a stable home, but those boys didn't, she might've handled them, that being hard, in a different way, because she would have had a different tool.
Yeah.
And then she said, all we have is their word. But then she said, you know, she went to counseling, she's implementing new strategies. And at the end of the day, especially when it comes to parenting, that's all you can hope for, is somebody to learn and then readapt.
Yeah. So they all wonderful points.
Yeah. And something deep too. It's something that I realized when I was like in seventh grade. I literally remember the day, is when you realize that your parents or your parental guardians are people and like humans, and not mommy and daddy and not parent. These are my parents. And you're like, no, these are just like actual people who like make fuck up mistakes. And so what you, like you're saying, what you hope is that when I'm not a parent, but when I become a parent, like I hope that I'm gonna make mistakes. And I don't know what I'm trying to say. I just feel like
you hope what she did was right, what you count as wrongs, and not that your parents were wrong and that they were horrible people, but they did something in their humanness that wasn't good for you and your humanness. And your hope is to not repeat that.
Right. And I don't want that to sound like I'm making an excuse for Marlo. I think it's what she did and didn't do on the show. It was really bizarre. And also when she brought them back on, it was just kind of like, it felt so like over the top. Like, oh, let's go to Sonia's house and like change a tire and have taco night and be around a man. Yeah, exactly. It was like, what are we doing?
Speaking of that, the changing the tire thing, that like upset me, because growing up as like a gay kid who is not out, I remember, like, we're getting into childhood trauma today because of the
no mind. But I know exactly
I remember when my dad, and this is no shame on, he didn't know what to do, like I didn't tell him I was gay, and they were just things pushed upon me because that's what boys do. Mm-hmm. That like that you look back on as really upsetting memories. And like one of those boys gives to me a little bit like of a gayness, and I'm just saying like as a gay person, like as a gay person, I sometimes feel like I have a little bit of a sixth sense about those things, and I want that child to have like a beautiful life whenever they decide whatever journey they're going on. But throwing them in a like equipment wear suit and like having to go and change tires and then like sitting with the men in the other room while they eat, I mean, those are things that I would go home and be like really upset about as a kid, being like, I felt so uncomfortable. I wish I could have sat and talked with the moms. And I mean, I know that sounds and funny, that's true. But like, that's true. Like I would have like gabbed with the moms about like what's the drama? Like that's like where I
what's
drive.
Happening in the carpool lane? Like,
I'm sorry, there? Right. Like talk to anyone who, any mom who knew me as a kid growing up in Texas, like, I fucking killed that. Like light banter around the table after a sleepover.
And that's also
that's where I thrive. Okay.
And what we realized, we were home last weekend. We're really derailing, but we were home last weekend. What we realized, we're from Texas. What we realized is that when you grow up in Texas, you learn how to banter and carry like a small conversation.
A Southern Kiki around the table with some sweet tea. Yes, I will. Bless your heart. Yes.
Could I talk to a full stranger at a party with a mimosa in my hand and a white dress? Absolutely. Do I own a white dress? Definitely not. But yeah. I don't know. When I was in the closet at 13.
No, I did high school and college in Georgia, so south side of Georgia, so that that southern in the roots definitely runs deep, and it is a conversational style to be able to kiki at a table, especially with people like who you may not really like.
No,
like that's southern 80% of the everybody, time like, of going home, and then the two people who like aren't supposed to be there leave the table, and
everybody's like
maybe I thought he wasn't never gonna leave.
Our family phrases, we'll talk in the car.
I do it at work often.
Yeah, people, I said it today at work, I think, actually.
Yeah, I said it the other day. Someone was like, oh, what, like they brought up a problem and the problem was in the room, and I was like, we'll just talk in the car.
I'm stealing it.
It's good.
But everyone knows what it means. Everyone's like,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, no, I'm definitely still.
Wait, so I wanna pop over to
speaking of Georgia and Southern Bells. Yeah. I'm on a roll with these.
Well, we already talked about Atlanta.
No, I'm saying Sutton.
Oh, I was gonna say Mary.
Damn Tennyson. It.
I was gonna say Mary. Oh. Jesus. Wait. We talked a little bit about Mary's Medicine last week. Kix was not here, but I know that you recap lightly on the TikTok about Mary's Medicine. I just want to chat for a second about it because it just stays one of my faves ever.
No, it is. I've seen every episode, every season.
I cry with laughter, and then I also like cry.
Yeah,
it's so good. I haven't watched the season, and that's on me. Everybody can throw tomatoes, like the kids are saying,
and we will.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, I think it was last season was the first season I watched live because they like went back and like caught up a little bit.
Okay.
And watched. It's so fucking good. Talk about people with like real jobs and
who don't
real
need
lives.
To show. Right. Okay, so this actually brings me to my one big issue with this season. And that is Anila, because Anila needs this show. Anila doesn't.
A blogger? Those girls can make money these days.
No.
Anila is a big issue, but I feel even bigger than Dr. Jackie. And I mean, than Anila is Dr. Jackie. And I feel qualified to say that because I've been watching since season one. So much so, when my husband and I were first dating, we were long distance. I was in Georgia, he was in Jersey. He came into town to visit me, and I was like, dude, listen, it's Sunday. It's this new show called Married to Medicine coming on. You could sit here, you could be on your, I don't care. I'm just from this time to this time. I gotta
see Koya and Mariah punch around a pool.
Exactly. So he watched the episode, and he's been like in and out the room ever since. Like, he'll come in like, dang, I can't believe these people are still on. Dr. Jackie is giving us dust this evening, okay? The most of a storyline that she gave us was the whip on the table. Baby girl is doing nothing but promoting her business, and I don't like that for us. Throw a lemon squeeze or get out.
There has to be a line of like, are we driving a VW bug with Bethany Frankel's face on it? Or are we, or Kathy getting pissed about tequila? You know? There has to be some line of we're doing too much.
Well, I feel like we often don't. I just sometimes feel like we didn't give enough energy to the fact that Jackie called that woman like infertile in front of so many people. And like a couple seasons ago, Buffy, I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I think it was shocking. And I think she is the queen of damage control and somehow was able to like make everyone just forget about that. But like, that would have been like another Housewives show that would have been okay, I think it's your time to get out.
Well, according to Buffy, on an old TikTok, basically like NBC and Bravo did that. She was Dr. Simone's patient. Dr. Simone broke patient doctor confidentiality, told Dr. Jackie. Dr. Jackie said it on the show. She was a friend of Bravo. NBC was like, oh, this is a big deal. How do we rectify it? They rectified it by giving Buffy more TV time. So then they wrote her in. If you go back and watch her season, her confessional looks are different. She said that they asked her to like wear her hair similar so that they can make it look all the same. So their rectification was giving her more screen time. And then they were able to pacify it because Dr. Jackie and Dr. Simone give us good TV. So we're just going to do what we need to do to keep that quiet.
Yeah.
Which again is, where is the line with Bravo? See?
They pick favorites. That's the line. They pick the favorite.
It varies across the franchise. Yeah.
And who's like the like fan favorite, and let's not air XYZ. I mean, I saw someone was talking about Ramona. someone was talking about like recently how in Potomac, the season, Monique's last season, how like she had one quote unquote the reunion, but they didn't air some of like the things she said to Giselle, and Giselle got super upset, allegedly, all of this. But it's like, why? It's like they pick who they're going to stand behind and who's going to stay on the show to make money.
And apparently that stuff not airing is why Monique didn't come back. Let Monique tell the story. At that reunion, she was still slated to come back, and the conversation between her and Bravo was like airing the stuff, like she wanted to clear the air. The reunion aired on TV. What they talked about wasn't shown, and then she emailed and was like, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah. Did you watch Love and Marriage DC? Huntsville's the original one.
Oh,
DC. I started it. I didn't finish it because like, it didn't.
Yeah, I hear it was kind of sleepy. I have a complicated relationship with Monique, I think, because like, I like her for the show, but there's things about her that I'm not sure I'm like all in on. And like,
there's a handful of things.
Yeah. And so it's interesting that she, I would like to see her back though, I think, like in some facet, I think, but I just don't think she would ever do it.
She had me on Love and Marriage Huntsville. I'm a sucker for authenticity and vulnerability, right? Because there are so many people that struggle mentally, and the baseline of that struggle is because it doesn't seem like anybody else is going through it. they feel like they're the only person. So I love TV that pushes that conversation towards what is the normal, but isn't being spoken about as the normal. So on Love and Marriage, she was having a conversation with Chris, right? So Chris was pivoting from, he's an Alabama boy from the Southern, I'm a man, right? I've got a house. My wife is able to stay home. My kids are taken care of. She can go swipe the card at any time and there's never any issue, period. My job here is done. And from men and from, especially from Southern men, it's like, oh, you're doing the thing. There's nothing else to do. And then Monique comes in and says, okay, well, like emotionally, I'm not fulfilled. Like you are a great man, but I need more from you as a husband, as a partner, blah, blah, blah. And then battling that issue of, but I thought I was doing enough. Now you said I'm not. Mm-hmm. And then Monique being like struggling with that, like, okay, no, I hear you. I can see where that is. I'm going to take time, still never being emotionally fulfilled. So now every time I bring this up to you, you're asking me for time. And now I feel like I've been waiting. So I want change from you immediately. And we just keep doing this circle of, I can't just change today. Well, I'm tired of waiting. I can't just change today. I'm tired of waiting. They had that full conversation on camera. And I was like, dude, this is a, like, we're going places with this show. Like Carlos King is back. We're doing it. Like we're actually talking about, and not just even marriage, but relationships. I feel like anybody who's in a long-term relationship, especially if you cohabitate, has been there in some capacity of, I thought I was doing my role as what I was supposed to be in a partner. And now you're telling me I'm not, I don't know how to sit with that. Right. And then it just turned into ratchet reality TV, blaming people for her issues. And I felt so bamboozled. Like, I was like, I was tuned in. Now what happened?
Yeah.
It started and then it didn't for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's dive into Beverly Hills.
Please. Real bad.
This, okay. Real bad. Okay. So here we go. Something I want to say is we've been talking a lot about being bamboozled and Bravo been bamboozling.
They're doing it to us.
Beverly Hills watchers forever. And it is time we put our foot down because the drama isn't what it ever is said to be. And I actually don't know how much longer I can handle it because the thing is, there is a show there. That's what's frustrating is like, there are some of the relationships that are interesting. Even when Erica and Sutton this past week were having their like nice banter on the plane, I'm like, that's the story. Like, that's the show. Like, that's real. They're really being like, put all the shit aside. Can we stop? Like, those are the moments that are interesting to me. What's not interesting to me is this whole Kathy Hilton nonsense, okay?
Don't care.
I don't care about her. And it's it's not what they said it was going to be.
Hello?
It's clear to me that
Where are my racist slurs?
Right.
Where is the F word? I need to hear the F word come out of this woman's fucking mouth.
You literally were playing on my Black Lives Matter, like, all-inclusive heartstrings. Like, I was ready.
I had like a rainbow shirt and my wig on waiting to be called a faggot last night. It didn't happen.
Hello? I'm sorry, Kathy, you said I was a what? Oh, okay.
Wait, it'd be mad.
Where's my picket sign? And then it turned out to, oh, please don't. And it turned out
a conga line.
Kyle?
In a conga fucking conga.
Okay.
No,
Meanwhile, what's fun? Kyle did steal the house. Like, girl, we met
Kyle
her too.
Kyle is annoying.
And that's old news. What was fun about this trip, the only thing I've enjoyed was the tequila drama because that's hilarious.
Yes.
That's what I look for. That's what I look for in a housewives. Is that stupid shit?
Can I have the 818 of my friend? Oh, your friend?
Oh, my friend can.
Contact
and who's 25? And you're 56? Like what?
Like you could be her grandmother.
Like, hello? You meant to say your niece? Like, I'm confused.
Like,
oh, my friend 818, you know?
But that's the old, like,
that's hilarious.
You know, like the good old, like, Heather Dubrow versus like Shannon Bedore season 8 OC. Like,
kidding me?
Right. Or like early New York. I mean, like that is housewives fighting about whose tequila is whose. Like
at a hat store.
Party.
Thank you.
Where they're lighting hats on fire. It's like, they don't recognize.
At a fucking hat store.
Right. But they don't see. They don't see when they're in a spot where they're like, there is high level comedy happening here. Instead, they focus in on just the dumbest shit that no one cares.
They focus in on Rinna walking through Aspen as if everybody doesn't have a cell phone that can give you walking directions, when what we should have been
watching with producers
was Kathy pull on the door. And then, like, where did that go? Like, y'all didn't let Kathy V. Hilton into the store?
Also,
like,
why aren't we mad about that?
That's what I'm saying.
That's funny.
The housewife drama.
Right. Yeah, thank you.
Funny.
Funny. Also, why aren't we talking about these women who are gorgeous and of a certain age going to a fucking club?
Well,
why are they going clubbing?
I think the Caribou Club is like the Soho House of Aspen or something. Like, it's like, because she said that she's a member. So I think it's like very exclusive. And I think she essentially just wanted to say that she was a member on television.
I'm literally picturing like Tao.
Yeah.
Not like in a classy way.
No, that's exactly what it is.
I picture, did you guys watch Uncoupled with Neil Patrick Harris on Netflix?
No, I've heard it's good.
Get out. No.
Was it good? I heard mixed things.
Cute. Like, if you're like cleaning your house again, you know, hungover. Sure. But there was a members only club in that spot, and then, you know, like, people are hawking like ecstasy, like only on a pill. Like, I see it like that. No cell phones allowed type BS. But no,
Kathy Hilton was in such a basic ass outfit, which also made me laugh too.
Okay, I have a photo of the that girl club dance floor. You don't have to
get
absolutely.
Was that a real question?
It's not giving anything that anyone mentioned, to be honest with you. It looks like
it kind of looked
like a prom night at a retirement home.
Is it too? It looks like.
Like, that's the dance floor where the fighting was happening?
It looks like roundup.
I don't know about chic. I mean, it's no, like.
In my Dorit voice. Are you serious? Like,
oh. Yeah,
like, it's just, I don't like your version of shit.
I just, what are we doing? And in the end, Kathy is going to BravoCon, sitting in a BravoCon panel with Kyle and all the
girls.
She's
probably selling shirts that say, I didn't say the F word.
Yeah, like, I don't think she's going anywhere.
The toe that broke the camel's back next to the hunky dory shirts.
Wait. The thing is, Kathy, here is what it is. Rinna does not know the like banter like that sisters can have sometimes. I think she did have a sister who passed away. I'm not trying to take away from that. I'm just saying, no, like,
but very young, they didn't get a chance to banter.
Like, she doesn't understand like the banter between like two sisters who fought forever. Like, Kyle and Kathy love each other, but they say mean shit about each other behind their back, into their faces. She was literally talking.
They've not talked for like 10 plus years.
No, and she's talking on the airplane about how, as kids, they used to like dig into each other's arms till there was blood, and then they would do that every day. It's like, that's fucked up. They have a weird relationship. I'm sure there are many nights that Kathy has come home from a situation with Kyle or Kim and screamed at Nikki Hilton, who's been on her cell phone the whole time while mom screams about how she's going to take Kyle down.
Rick, Moe, Paris, Portia, them people are tired, okay?
Yeah.
They are tired.
They also don't like each other.
Yes, but here's the thing that gets me, and I will continue to say this is the thing that makes me think Lisa Rinna is lying. Kathy did not speak to Kyle for years over that talk or over that sitcom that only did like a pilot in one season. Okay. Like, it didn't even last as long as the drama lasted, because she felt like it painted their family in bad light. So you, with that information, you want to tell me that Kathy V. Hilton, who has been in media, Paris's mom, was loose lipped with Billy? That did not happen.
I really don't think it did either. And Lisa's sitting there being like, when she said I have PTSD, I'm like, do you understand what that word means?
No.
And you want to say it to us, the viewers, the people experiencing it, watching you?
Right. It's like, girl, when did you go through something similar where like a rich socialite rode back with you in a Sprinter van in Aspen and then stomped on her reading glasses? I'm like, you're telling me that happened to you before? Because I would love, roll the tape.
That's the show.
It was Harry when he used to drink.
Like, that's what PTSD means.
He doesn't.
But someone on my live today, Two Housewives on TikTok Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern. Today, my co-host said, She doesn't believe it because she said, you mean to tell me that Kathy had a breakdown in front of Lisa Rinna, jumped on her glasses, and it was so bad for Lisa Rinna to lock herself in a room, and Lisa Rinna didn't pull any cell phone footage. There's no voice note footage. There's no nothing to say, like, I'm sitting here, to just corroborate your story. There's nothing but you and your words.
I don't believe anything that comes out of Lisa Rinna's mouth.
No, she's such
a... Started with saying her friend Kendall Jenner. That's a lie.
Ending with, I'm the LeBron James of Beverly Hills.
What the fuck does that mean?
I'm sure, like, LeBron James lives in Beverly Hills.
LeBron James is like, why am I in it?
How did I get in it?
Wait, okay. Speaking of celebrities in it, what's happening with Jon Hamm?
So Jon Hamm went on Howard Stern and said that he watches Beverly Hills, and then, like, gave a point about
earrings.
And then it went in, and Howard Stern says, I watch Beverly Hills as well, but it's the only one I watch. And Jon Hamm was, like, talking about how, to him, like, Salt Lake City and Atlanta feel like ancillary, like, characters in the Housewives game. I just think he just, to me, the annoying thing about it all is, like, why? It's annoying to watch these people be obsessed with a show that is not good when there are good shows.
Yeah, it's the worst franchise that's on right now, so.
No, it absolutely is. And it's like, if you just wanted to say something, Peter Thomas, then just say that. Like, if you were looking for a diamond, you know what I mean? Because, like, how you come in here with, like, no facts and all the words? Like, that's where I'm lost.
Well, I think
cite your sources.
But I think he thinks, and I think a lot of straight men think, that if they watch Bravo, it's like that that's like a personality trait that they can, like, win in life.
Michael Rapaport.
Like, yeah. Who is, ugh. I can't. Listen,
if Andy invites him on Watch What Happens Live one more time.
Well, he will. So don't say anything too dramatic.
it's happening. And, like, he's booked for next week. Like, right. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I don't want.
No,
I don't get it. I don't think anybody gets it. So I'm like, why is he here?
I'm sure the people in the audience are like, yeah.
Give it up for Michael Rapaport.
Like, oh, he's just so cringe. And when
bring Jon Hamm on, that man has his dick huge, so I'm sure you can see it live on Watch What Happens Live.
I'm positive Michael Rapaport has a tiny little mushroom pain.
It has to be a mushroom though, for real.
No, for real. When Andy tweeted, he was like, ask my questions for Erica and Michael Rapaport. I comment, I said, this sounds bad.
My question is, why is Michael here?
I honestly, I picture 2023, I'm gonna call it now. Erica Jane, Michael Rapaport, get together.
You fuck?
They've already hooked up. They've already hooked up.
I bet you she's pegged him.
I believe all of those things.
Yeah. Wait. So we had like our 1,000th 20s party. I can't handle another 20s party. I can't do it.
At this point, it's like Mad Libs. Like, which housewife is going to throw a 20s party?
Yeah,
Great Gatsby is somewhere like, leave me out of it.
Yeah. Please. Now why am I in it? How do I
get literally, Great Gatsby is sitting at the grave going, why am I in it?
No, Great Gatsby is like, what's wrong with the Bob? And we're like, something. Like, we are tired.
Another slept on Nini moment.
Oh god.
No, but Jesus. When Erica and Diana were sitting in that Simba room, it's like when the Riddler and Two-Face, like, team up. I'm like, it's two villains just being like jerking each other off on how villainous they can be. And I'm not even watching it. And then when they cut back, Erica was talking about, like, her previous life, and they cut back to her season one. Was anyone else shocked by her voice? Her voice?
I have it in my notes.
Her voice?
Ooh, I'm going to look it up. She's like, go back and watch it.
Hi, Lisa Rinna. Welcome to my home. This is the chapel. This is, like,
and you'll have to come over for dinner one time. Yeah. Like,
yeah, you and Harry can come over. It's like full on Alvin and the Chipmunks. Yeah. And now she is like a gremlin.
When that show that back, and this is something that I also noticed I just felt like it was all sneaky when we went back and we looked to see if we could have any clues of EJ's downfall. Mm-hmm. We've never not once did like a thing at her house, like a little nighttime situation. And I thought about that when she showed the chapel, because I was like, are you dead ass? Why'd you show us that?
That chapel freaks me the fuck out. I'm sorry.
Why'd you show us that?
So weird.
It's so weird.
Yeah, based on what she might have gotten involved with Armie Hammer, I'm like, she's fucked someone in that chapel.
And
you
know, they, like, that is the spot where
I'm so sorry. This, by the way, it's so nice to meet you. Thank you for coming on. We're just really like, bearing it like all.
Rappaport's got a little mushroom dick. These women are testing my goddamn nerve. And Lisa Rinna, it's all so fucking fake.
It is.
Lisa walking out, she's like, I must leave because I love you, but I cannot be here anymore because I'm so triggered by being around.
It was that bad. Like, man, if your stomach hurt, then please.
Yeah.
Oh my. The only relationship, like true friendship I buy out of like the Fox 4 is Dorit and Kyle. I genuinely think they are friends outside of filming, but I don't think Lisa Rinna gives a flying shit about Kyle and especially not her sister. So she's just trying to make shit up.
You know, in Atlanta, how we want to know what Ralph was doing in Tampa?
Yes.
In Beverly Hills, I want to know why Mo ain't told Kyle that he had to go pick up PK. Why was that whole thing?
Yeah, that's a good point. We really skated over that.
I didn't know.
You did not.
Right there. I'm sorry. What? It's just.
But
I do believe they're friends outside of the show, though. And I hope that she's not. Like, I hope that that is just like something we're having fun with at their expense, because that's low.
Yeah, I agree. And I saw somewhere someone posted, this is a great, and if this is you and you ever listen to this, I'm sorry, I'm not quoting you or tagging you or anything, but someone wrote a think piece about Housewives on like a Substack or something like that. Okay. And was saying that we watch these shows because they're stories and stories naturally have ends. And we oftentimes get angry at shows that go on for too long because we felt like the show didn't get its warranted ending. Like Game of Thrones, for instance, right? Like went on way too long and the ending flopped because they could have ended it in a different fashion earlier on and left people wanting more, right?
And it's saying, I could have saw it, but I digress. Saying,
right. And it's saying that, and this person was saying that Beverly Hills and New York has had its arc. Like it's literally had an arc and it's made... It's had moments where it could have made its bow-tied ending, and it keeps getting this second wind and third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh, you know, when it's time to just move on to something new, refocus the whole pantheon around Potomac, around Salt Lake City, around, and keep Atlanta because Atlanta stays relevant. But like, find new cities. Like, we have to move on because Beverly Hills is not it anymore. They're gonna keep coming back because
they're I will good, say but... if they come back, they would. I would wish that they give Sutton and Garcelle the center diamonds because they are hilarious. They are fun. They bring lighthearted drama, but also have some very serious conversations. Like they're perfect housewives. Like. And get some new friends of new girls and I don't know, just like they're gonna keep it because everybody like literally if anybody's like, oh, I've never watched Housewives, but I've watched Beverly Hills. That's like always what people say.
Right, but Beverly Hills, as we know it, has ended a bit ago. Like
it's
done. We're on to a new show. The show that we're watching now is not the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It's like Kyle's mean ass friends.
Yeah, no, Mean Girls of Beverly Hills. That's what we're watching. For sure. But I think that now if they had smart people in Bravo, what should happen is we wrap Beverly Hills. We move Atlanta to Beverly Hills Stardom, right? And that's your franchise where you get the famous people, and we go back down to the housewives being everyday people. We didn't know Vicky. We didn't know Jean. We didn't know these people. Let's get back down to people that we did not know and who have success in their own right and do that thing again. But it's, they're in a weird place now because, like, I heard the Roni revamp is flopping. Mm-hmm. So they're getting ready to can that. So they're going to have to call these, the older women back. But then you're back in that cycle of we don't really want to see 50, 60 plus year old women run around hotels, damage property, run around Blue Ridge Mountain. Like, that's really giving. Did you take your meds today?
They didn't. I know there was this weird, the thing is that's, I saw that story, but I didn't know if it was like real. The one about like Andy saw the footage of Sonia and Luann's thing, and I'm assuming it was so ridiculous and funny that like he can't believe that they're not going to be on Roni anymore. Yeah. But I think they should still stick with that idea though, and just let the show Real Housewives of New York just become a new show. There are so many people in New York. It's insane. It can't flop that hard. Like, there are so many people that live here of all different walks of life. It's just not going to be the same
show. It's the walks of life thing, though, that they're missing. That new alleged cast. Like, I'm not sure who they are or what type of content they're capable of bringing. But, like, the three of us know that that cast doesn't look anything like New York.
Yeah. No, I agree. Well, Elle, before we let you go, is there any like final thoughts on Bravo, on all these shows, anything that you want to leave the listeners with?
You know, I'm really excited to find out what's happening with Lisa Rinna. Was she fired?
Is yeah,
she
I agree, actually.
Drain? Why does she want $2 million
for what exactly? You know what I mean? What are you promising that would be worth $2 million in my attention? That's it. I'm really excited for Salt Lake City. I'm really excited for Potomac. And I hope that now that Beverly Hills is ending and allegedly Jen Shaw is not coming back for season 3, I hope that we can get away from like watching and being over invested in thieves.
Sure. I love that.
That's never going to happen. All these like, women are thieves.
How many times can we tell the story? Like, we've seen it. We followed Teresa. We're following Erica. Okay, we're going to follow Jen. Like, that's a wrap on that character
arc. Yeah, yeah. No, I see what you mean. You're totally right. Yeah.
Yeah.
In that one.
Yeah. Well, one more thing before we let you go. Tell everyone about your TikTok and your lives and all the things you do on social media. You are a wonderful content creator that deserves all the flowers.
Thank you. I'm Housewives and Chit Chat on TikTok and on Instagram. I recap the Bravo shows there on Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern. We do a live show to Housewives, and we just go in depth all of the Bravo shows that we're me and I'm Real Boring Housewife. We go in depth all the Bravo shows that we watch, plus Big Brother, The Amazing Race, Survivor, pop culture, just kind of like a weekly pop culture wrap up style show. And then I have a show coming to Roku TV under Nosy Bystanders TV Network. So that will premiere November 1st.
Congrats.
That's congratulations.
Birthday too. Oh,
yes. Hey. Thank you for the birthday present.
Of course. So it will be Tuesdays at 10 a.m. It's like the real side of being a housewife, but like you don't have to be a housewife, even if you just like to make it nice. Like, you know, it's just home content, a little bit on the budget, you know, starting off with amazing fall and just like, you know, party tips, how to bring the best hostess gift, table decor. The holiday should be easy. It should be about spending time with your friends and family. We always get bombarded with like, we've got to cook, we've got to do this. So this will be like just some quick tricks so that you can appear to be the best hostess, but not sweat.
Amazing. Love that. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Look at you being a star.
I'm so excited. So it will be behind a paywall. So if you like to, you know, pay for your content, whatever.
Her flowers.
It's coins. Me and just a bunch of other beautiful content creators. Millie Chan from TikTok, Double D Mother, Chef Mimi J, Silk God on TikTok. Just Everybody Hates Chrissy. A bunch of amazing, amazing TikTok creators that Nosy Bystanders put together to create this network. And so amazing. You may pay for me and get them for free.
Love that. Yes. Congrats. Seriously, congrats.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then you can follow the podcast, our podcast, the one you're listening to right now, at Dumpster Dive Pod on Instagram. You can follow me at The Tom Hamlet, and you can follow Kix.
At Kix Hamlet, that's spelled C-I-X.
Yes. And then make sure to rate, review, subscribe to all the podcasts, everything you love. The best way to support content creators, be that in the audio form or the social media form, is with a follow, a like, a comment, a save. It goes a long way. That is our new currency. So make sure to do that and support everyone because everyone deserves it. Yeah. And I'll say bye to the listeners. Bye.
Bye, listeners. Thank you.